Marhaba, and welcome to the Matrix Green Pill, where real people connect.
Hello and welcome back to the Matrix Green Pill podcast. I'm Hilmarie Hutchison, and today I am so honored to have Jennifer Pettinger as my guest on the show. Jennifer is the founder of Griff, a top global hospitality event. As a woman in a male-dominated industry, she spotlights Middle Eastern talent and culture while providing a platform for F&B investment opportunities. As testament to her influence and impact on the industry, she has been included in the Caterer Middle East Power List for 2 consecutive years. In addition, Jennifer was part of the team who climbed Mount Kilimanjaro and broke the world record for the highest game of cricket ever played, raising £200,000 for charity. Wow, how incredible. Jennifer, welcome and thank you so much for joining me today.
Well, thank you so much, Hilmarie, for having me. Thank you for that lovely introduction. I've never sounded so impressive.
Well, you are impressive. There's no doubt about that.
Thank you.
Before we talk about how you got in the hospital, could you please tell our audience a bit about your background and how you ended up in the Middle East?
Sure. Well, I mean, it's kind of a tale as old as time. I ended up in the Middle East because of a boy who is now my husband. He moved out here and I followed him because it was the place to be. So back in 2008, which is when I moved out, everything was collapsing in London with Lehman Brothers crisis having happened. And the Middle East was Dubai, was this exciting new land of promise. So it seemed like a wonderful opportunity to move out. And I am originally from Sydney, Australia, but have lived all over the world. And to me, Dubai seemed like a very exciting adventure, which has now been going on for 15 years and 2 children later.
It's amazing how many people have a very similar story, just come for a few years and then end up staying. Then how did you get involved in the hospitality industry?
I actually got involved in the hospitality industry by accident. I was running a conference in London. So I moved from Sydney to London, was hoping to get a job in television or media because I'd come from a TV station in Sydney, and ended up in the conference world because not many people want to hire a Australian on a working holiday visa, and discovered that it was a whole new world that I'd never known about before. And one of the events that I was doing was a very glamorous event called Economy and Budget Hotels World Congress. And that was my first foray into the hospitality world. And from there, I met our chairman, Jonathan Worsley, who then swept me up and gave me the opportunity to work on the Arabian Hospitality Investment Conference, which had just been getting started out here in Dubai. Then from then on, I became addicted to the hospitality industry. Have been fortunate enough to be running the event, our hospitality portfolio. We're basically hospitality investment focused, as we're a platform really for the industry to connect primarily through events. And we've run events for the hospitality investment community all over the world, in Russia, in Turkey, in all through Africa. And our flagship event is here in the UAE, Future Hospitality Summit, previously known as the Arabian Hospitality Investment Conference. And I launched, off the back of a need from the industry, the Global Restaurant Investment Forum. So that really was how I got into restaurants, launching an event specifically for the restaurant industry. And that connected people who had restaurant concepts and franchises and were looking for investment and partners. And it became a global platform over the last 8 years.
So Griff, the Global Restaurant Investment Forum.
That's correct, yes.
That you are the founder of?
Yes, with my chairman, Jonathan Worsley, yes, we launched the event.
And you launched this because you saw a gap in the market, there was a need. What was that transition like for you though, going from being employed, I'm assuming, to starting something on your own?
Well, I've been fortunate enough to be able to grow with my company. So I have been with Bench for 15 years now, and I've been given the opportunity to go out, launch things, work on different products. We're very much an entrepreneurial company. I have had the best of both worlds, having a infrastructure behind me and having that security, as well as being able to be really entrepreneurial and go try and launch different products.
Fantastic. And well done. Congratulations that you've done so well. As you say, you've been going at this for 8 years now. That's excellent. The F&B industry is known to be male dominated. So could you share with us some of the challenges you faced as a woman in leadership in this industry?
The hospitality industry, it's wonderful because you're seeing a lot more female leaders come through. There's a coming change. And I think it's a really tough industry for people to succeed in, because if you're actually working in hospitality, the hours are very long. It's not conducive to having a family in a lot of cases, and you're working weekends. It's a very difficult industry for anybody. But now you are seeing, I think, a lot of female leaders come through, like Emma Banks at Hilton, and Panchali, who's president of Atelier House. They received one Michelin star with 11 Woodfire. You've got Sandy, who is the general manager of Time Out Markets, and she's now in charge of their kind of global development. So you are seeing, I think, a lot of females starting to take leadership positions within the hospitality industry. And one of the really interesting things is coming about in Saudi Arabia is you are getting a lot of females who are owning restaurants. You've got some female chefs coming up. I think that it's really indicative of the fact that F&B and restaurants are an absolutely amazing avenue for people who are passionate about it and prepared to put in the hard yards. There's no doubt it's a very tough industry and it is male dominated, but I think that that is changing somewhat.
That's excellent to hear. The F&B industry is also evolving all the time, as all other industries are. What are some of the trends that you've seen in the F&B industry? And also, what impact has Griff had on the industry?
I'd like to think that what Griff has done is enabled connections and on a more international and global scale. So, I mean, one of the tangible impacts that we've had that I'm very proud of is the Time Out Market. So we had invited Didier, who was the CEO of Time Out Market, to speak at our event here in Dubai. And the CEO of Alibar Enterprises at the time was there. He actually went and found Didier after his session and told him, look, you need to work with us. And that was the starting point of the conversation and of what we now see in Suga Baha, which is Time Out Market. So it's things like that that I think are really powerful and that I'm very proud that we've been able to play a part in. I think the other thing that we've been able to do is really take what's happening here in the Middle East to a larger audience within the restaurant investment community. So through taking our event to Amsterdam for 2 years in 2019 and 2020, and then COVID happened, we were able to bring a lot of what was happening here in the Middle East and Dubai specifically to the European market. And also vice versa. So we've been able to really show people who have come over to our event what's happening here in Dubai. And I'm really looking forward to doing that in Saudi in May when we have culinary tours happening. We've got speakers from all over the world and who are coming to see what's happening in Saudi Arabia and share their knowledge. I think it's making those connections that I think has really been a trademark of Griff and forming a bit of a community around the people who we've brought along the journey.
Excellent. And that sounds really exciting, what's happening in Saudi as well.
I think Saudi is a really exciting market because what you're seeing in Saudi is, as I mentioned, not just kind of the international brands coming in, but a lot of homegrown concepts. And I think it's just developing at such a rate that it's one of the most interesting markets to watch in the world currently.
Absolutely. And you mentioned before that Griff is a platform for investments. What advice would you give to someone who is interested in investing in the F&B industry?
I would say get advice. It's not as easy as it seems. And that just because you've eaten in a lot of restaurants doesn't make you qualified to own a restaurant. So I think there can be a perception that it's not necessarily a complicated industry, but it really is one of the most, I wouldn't say difficult, but challenging. It can be one of the most challenging markets to really get a solid ROI on because there's so many variables with it. And I would suggest definitely working with experts.
I think that's good advice. So don't just go in unprepared. Do your homework. Get advice and know what you're getting into before you just start investing. You mentioned earlier about traveling to the Netherlands and bringing ideas back also to the Middle East. In your opinion, what role does the F&B industry play in promoting cultural exchange and diversity?
I think it's really important because I think one of the things that's common to all of us no matter, you know, what our background or what our circumstances, that we all eat. And I think, you know, for millennia, people have been sitting around, maybe not millennia, people have been sitting around and sharing meals, and that's where they connect. And I think that you're able to really break down cultural barriers and have special shared experiences over a meal. And I think food is a great way to understand people's culture and also to appreciate uniqueness of different parts of the world. So I think food's incredibly important in terms of promoting cultural understanding and shared experiences.
What would you say are the most significant, or what is the most significant achievement of GRIFF to date? And what are some of your future plans for the forum?
As I mentioned previously, I think some of the deals that have come together out of it, specifically the Time Out Market, I think going to Amsterdam, taking this event from the Middle East into the European markets, for me has been really quite an achievement. And I'm very delighted to see the connections and the community that's happened off the back of it. I think that the fact that we were able to survive COVID has been quite an achievement in itself as well. And during COVID, we actually worked together with some other members of the prominent members of the restaurant community here in Dubai to help the industry through this time by providing information and webinars and connections for people. I think probably that's one of my proudest achievements as well, is that we were able to really support the industry during what was a difficult time.
That's excellent. Yeah, it was a difficult time for everyone, but especially for the F&B industry.
Yes. One of the things that has been quite incredible about Dubai is how it dealt with COVID and how it was able to bounce back so quickly, which I think provided an incredible opportunity for the hospitality industry to be open in a safe manner while the rest of the world was closed. And I think that has just continued and really seen the hospitality industry move from strength to strength in this part of the world.
With your experience working within the F&B industry, could you share some tips for aspiring entrepreneurs looking to start their own F&B business?
I think really it is about finding the right team and about getting the right advice and about making sure that you know what you're getting into. But I think one of the best things you can do as an aspiring F&B entrepreneur is try and find mentors and people around you who can help you on that journey. I think a lot of the time, if you're looking for investment, it's not just about, when you look for investors, it shouldn't just be about the money. It should be about what skills, what network, and what they can bring to the table. It's a tough industry, and I think you want to build up around you a good team and support network that has experience and can help you navigate through what can be a tricky environment.
Excellent. I also think that what you mentioned about mentors is excellent. Finding somebody who already has the knowledge that can guide you through some of the difficult decisions that you will have to make. I think that's good advice.
Yeah. I think one of the lovely things about the hospitality industry as well is that people are very willing to share. People are in the hospitality industry primarily because they really enjoy it and they love it. So they're very happy to help people and, well, I found anyway, to give their time to support the next generation that's coming up. I mean, one of the big challenges that hospitality has globally is getting people into the workforce and creating a good, attractive environment for the next generation to want to work within hospitality. I think that's a challenge that as an industry, we definitely have and we all need to be working together on. And I think mentorships are a really big part of helping people get through and retaining them in the industry.
Absolutely, no doubt. It's a very valuable thing to be part of. As much as I've enjoyed talking about F&B and GRIFF, I would love to just hear a little bit about your experience climbing Kilimanjaro and what that was all about.
That was absolutely the most incredible experience of my life. It really was, I have to say, Hilmarie. It was quite magical. And I think that the fact that we were doing this cricket match on the top at the end was just such a motivating factor to get through it. And I mean, the climb itself is just a beautiful couple of days wandering through, because you're going very slowly, of course, so that you can get acclimatized. And we had to go particularly slowly because we were spending so long at the top. But we had cricket legends from the UK with us and from South Africa. And we had a really interesting group of people who were all kind of united in this purpose of raising money for charity and for setting this world record. I would highly recommend anyone to take on a challenge that they don't think that they can necessarily do. Because for me, it was something I didn't think that I would be. I thought, oh, climbing a mountain, playing cricket at the top of it, that's not something that I could ever accomplish. But I did it. And I think it was one of those moments in life where you think, oh, well, I've done this. What else can I do that I didn't think I was capable of?
That's brilliant. Never doubt yourself, challenge yourself, push your limits if you can.
Absolutely.
And again, like you say, to be doing it for a good cause and raising funds to help someone else, even better.
Absolutely. And for us, we were raising money for Tusk, charity that protects elephants. That was very close to our hearts because we do an event in Africa every year, and we've had the privilege to go on, well, I've had the privilege of going on safari and seeing these majestic animals in their natural environment. And so that was amazing. And then we also raised money for a cancer charity as well, which I know is just incredibly important to be raising money for such a crucial cause.
Absolutely. Both very worthwhile causes that you were supporting with that. Well, thank you so much for sharing your journey and the tips that you've shared with us. That's been really, really interesting. Now we've come to the segment of our show where I'll ask you some rapid fire questions, our version of a game show. Are you ready?
Sounds fun. Absolutely. Hit me.
What's the most unusual dish you've ever tried?
I think there's a place in Kenya, in Nairobi, called Carnivore, where they have things like crocodile. And I think crocodile probably is the most unusual dish I've ever tried.
Do you prefer dining in a fancy restaurant or a food truck?
I think it's all about the atmosphere and the people you're with.
Have you ever had a food-related disaster in the kitchen?
All the time, Hilmarie. I am not a cook, I have to say.
Okay. If you were a food item, what would you be and why?
Oh, wow, that's a tough one. I think I would have to be a Tim Tam. So I think you've got three different layers there, each one delicious. And you've got a melty outside coating. And they're Australian biscuits, Australian chocolate biscuits.
Of course, we love Tim Tams. I love that. I think that's an excellent choice. What is one thing you do every day, no matter how busy you are?
I kiss my babies and I hug my babies and my husband every day.
Lovely. Very nice. Well, that was the end of the game show. That wasn't too difficult. Thank you for playing along.
My pleasure.
Now, before we wrap up, we would like to do our Greenpool moment. What was your Greenpool moment, the action or event that was the turning point for you or your career?
So for me, it was essentially deciding to take this job interview that was for a conference producer for a company called Terrapin in London. I wasn't even going to go to the interview. And I can distinctly remember I was at the art gallery. I just arrived in London about 2 weeks ago and I was meeting up with a friend at the art gallery. We were at the Tate Modern and I had like an hour to get to the interview. And I said, oh, I don't know if I really, you know, I was in my 20s. I was like, oh, I don't really think I'm going to go. And then she said, no, you should go. It's good practice, regardless if you want the job or not, you should definitely go and just do the interview. I went, did the interview, got the job. And that's where I met my husband. And that's where it all started for my career in hospitality with Bench Events and Griff and everything that's subsequently happened, the amazing ride that I've been on since that day.
Wow, what a fantastic story. So inspiring. And as you said, when an opportunity is there, even though you might not think it will lead anywhere, just take it for the experience. You never know where it's going to lead.
Exactly.
I love that.
That's what I've learned in life. I've also always learned, always take the meeting. Even if you're not sure where it's going to lead, it's amazing where conversations and people can take you.
Absolutely. Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for sharing your journey and your story with us. So incredible. So inspiring. I've really enjoyed this. Before we say goodbye, though, could you please tell our listeners where they can find and follow you?
If you have a look at Instagram, I'm at Girl About the Globe. And also, if you go to Future Hospitality Summit, you will be able to find more about our events and connect with us so that we can keep you in the loop for what we're doing in the future.
Thank you very much. And we'll also put that in the show notes. So thank you again so much, Jennifer, for joining me today. It's been excellent. And I wish you all the very best. And I will be following your journey as you continue.
Thank you so much, Hilmarie. Lovely to talk to you. And thank you for the opportunity.
If you enjoy our conversations, please like and subscribe. See you next Wednesday.